Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Shall we begin our worship with singing? Would you stand and sing with us, please?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. You're going to hear that again. I have a special message for you moms today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Roy Baldwin, and I presently serve as the vice chair of your administrative council. My wife Karen and I have been members here at Helotes Hills for 43 years. We transferred here in March of 1980. Our pastor, Reverend Cheryl Broom, is in Austin today, and she asked me to lead worship with you this morning, and so I'll be bringing a message to you a little bit later. If you're a first-time worshiper with us, welcome. We're glad to see you. We'd appreciate it if you'd fill out a blue card, which is in the pew back in front of you there. Give us a little information about yourself so we can get to know you a little better. If you have prayer requests for everyone, there's the yellow card. If you fill that out and place it in the offering plate, the prayers will be, we are a praying church, and the prayers will be voiced by our prayer ministry team on Monday evening. There are announcements, upcoming events in the bulletin. Take a look at those. Put them on your calendar and try to be here. Participate in the life of the church. At this time, we can prepare for worship by the bringing forth the light of Christ.
My name is Valerie Long. Welcome this morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. It is good to be in worship with you this morning. We light the candles this morning as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Scripture this morning is from Exodus 1, 8 through chapter 2, 10, verse 10. Now as a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph, he said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in the event of war join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks upon the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick and every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women, see them on their birth stool. If it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. When Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw in the Nile, but you will let every girl live." Now a man came from the house of Levi and went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch and put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him to her son, took him as her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Alpha and Omega, you make your home with us. You dry our tears and quench our thirst. You are the tender love that welcomes all people. Like a mother, you nurture your children, giving them life, teaching them to love. Meet us in worship this day as you come and dwell among us and make all things new.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
My name is Jessie Spina. I'm the director of Christian education here. And every year in the children's ministry, we have the blessing of talking about mamas when we come to this time of year, right? And how mamas, we remind the kids, are not born when a child is born. A mama is born when she dedicates her life to caring for and raising another. And in that God regard, in God's family, we have a ton of mamas. We don't just have the one that's at home with us. We have a church full of church moms who care for us, who love us, who teach us, who guide us in everything we do, who provide us with that safe space, that soft landing we need when the world outside kind of stinks. The world kind of stinks, doesn't it? And we can trust that in God's family, we have moms to take care of us. We've got the organizer who puts everything in its place and makes sure that we all have the place, right? We have the moms that just want to love on us when we walk in the door, and they want to make sure that we know we're welcome here, and we have a place here, and we're loved. We have the givers who want to make sure that you have everything you need, and they usually want to feed you while they're at it. We have the teachers who want to tell you about God's word, who want you to know God's word in your heart. Oh my gosh, we have so many different types of mamas in Christ's church, so many so that I can't name them all. But what we can do is say thank you to all of the church moms who guide us. And so we're going to have the kids from the children's ministry come forward, and they're going to recite a Mother's Day prayer. I don't know if we have any other kids out there. But if there are other kiddos who want to join in, we have the words on a bulletin board for them to read. Are you guys ready?
I said a Mother's Day prayer for you to thank the Lord above for blessing me with a lifetime of your tender-hearted love. I thank God for the caring you've shown me through the years, for the closeness we've enjoyed in times of laughter and of tears. And so I thank you from the heart for all you've done for me, and I bless the Lord for giving me the best church moms there could be.
Thank you, church mamas, for all you do for us. We're going to head out to Spark Worship, and we're going to sing and dance and do a craft and learn about the roles church moms play.
Thank you, Jesse, and thank you, kids. And our prayers for the people today is a responsive one. After each phrase that I say, your response will be, hear our prayer. Almighty God, in Christ you taught us to pray and promised us that we would receive all that we ask in his name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the church universal, hear our prayer. For this congregation, its mission and ministry, hear our prayer. For the healing of the earth, hear our prayer. For peace and justice in the world, hear our prayer. For nations and leaders, hear our prayer. For our local community, hear our prayer. For the poor and the oppressed, hear our prayer. For the bereaved and lonely, hear our prayer. For all who need healing, Lord, hear our prayer. For those who have died, that they may be remembered with thanksgiving, Lord, hear our prayer. Guide us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, that all of our prayers and all of our lives may serve your will and show your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture verse that I have for you today is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 17 through 22. And Stephen is speaking before the high priest and council about the history of his people, the Israelite people. But as the time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham, Our people in Egypt increased and multiplied until another king, who was not known to Joseph, ruled over Egypt. He dealt craftily with our race, forced our ancestors to abandon their infants so that they would die. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful before God. For 3 months, he was brought up in his father's house, and when abandoned, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. So Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in both word and deed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today's Mother's Day. You've heard that before. We honor all the women in our lives who brought us into this world and who have, for some degree, a large degree probably, made us who we are today. If you're a mother, or if you have served as a motherly image to someone, would you raise your hand? Mothers, thank you. Now, if you have a mother, living or not, raise your hand. Look around. I have instantly connected with every one of you to get you brought into my sermon. That's what a good teacher does. Each one of us has a mother. And I'm sure your mother probably taught you many things to help you through life. My mom certainly did. She taught me several things. She taught me religion. She said, you'd better pray that stain comes out of the carpet. And she taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. And she taught me contortionism. Would you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? And she taught me stamina. You will sit there until all that spinach is gone. Well, while doing some research for this sermon, I came across a story about four preachers who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because of its beautiful language. Another one liked the New American Standard Version best because it was closer to the original Hebrew and Greek. The third one liked the Message Bible better because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent for a moment, and then he said, I like my mother's translation best. Surprised, the other three pastors said they didn't know that his mother had translated the Bible. Oh yes, he replied, she translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I've ever seen. Being a parent today is a wonderful, rewarding experience, but it isn't for the faint of heart. It requires some tough decisions that can be risky, heart-wrenching, decisions that require faith. My message today is about a mother who had to make some hard choices about the welfare of her own son. This mother is a biblical character, but she's barely mentioned in the scriptures. Despite her low profile, she provides a finely drawn portrait of a mother of faith. She is mentioned briefly in the Hall of Fame for Faith found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Her name, according to Numbers 26:59, is Jochebed. That's spelled J-O-C-H-E-B-E-D, pronounced Jochebed. She is the mother of Moses. I did a little further research and found that the name Jochebed is a personal name meaning Yahweh's glory, and that she was from the tribe of Levi. The name Jochebed includes the divine name of Yahweh, evidence that the name Yahweh was known even before the time of Moses. Now, in order to get the full grasp of the scripture that I have read there, let me give a little background to set the stage for you. The nation of Israel had been in Egypt for almost 400 years. They had grown and prospered, but before long, they became a threat to the reigning Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh forced them into slavery. By the sweat of their brow, cities like Pithom and Ramses were built. Pharaoh hoped to break their backs, but they continued to grow and to prosper and to have children. So Pharaoh turned up the heat a little more. He commanded the Hebrew midwives to murder the newborn sons of Hebrew women as they were giving birth. The midwives, however, feared God, and they refused to kill the infant boys. So when Pharaoh discovered that he couldn't rely on the midwives, he tried a different approach. He told his people to stay on the lookout for male Hebrew babies, and if they saw one, they were to throw him into the Nile River and watch them drown. It was during this reign of terror that Jochebed became pregnant with her third child. She didn't have to worry about her older children, Aaron and Miriam, but the child in her womb would be fair game for any patriotic Egyptian who was in a bad mood that day. Can you imagine living in such fear? When I think of the times in which Jochebed was called to be a mother, I think of some mothers today. I think of mothers in some parts of Africa who face the very real prospect of having their son taken from their arms to be trained as a child soldier or to be sold into slavery. These are challenging times to be a mother in our world. There are forces at work which threaten to drown our children. Kids can drown in a river of violence and promiscuity that pours out of the TV and internet. They can drown in a sea of confusion as the lines between right and wrong are blurred by our society. They can drown in a competitive culture that rewards performance above character. They can be swept away by bullying and peer pressure. Every conscientious parent knows how dangerous it is to raise children in our world today. In the dangerous world in which she found herself, Jochebed stands out because she did what she could to save her child, but she refused to go with the flow. She refused to consider her own life, her own comfort, and her own safety. She refused to bow to the demands of Pharaoh. When she had done all that she could do, she then had to depend on the faithfulness of God. She was a model of faith, and she was very courageous. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said about Jochebed. Quote, By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of Pharaoh's edict, unquote. Though Pharaoh had said that all the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown into the Nile, Jochebed and her husband Amram disobeyed Pharaoh, and they hid Moses for 3 months. That takes courage. Imagine how hard it probably was to hide a baby in those days for 3 months, and yet Jochebed was successful in hiding Moses. We often think of faith as being a passive thing, but real faith is an active thing. Faith sometimes calls us to do risky things. I think of mothers who have been unable to conceive, but have seen that as an opportunity to adopt children who might otherwise spend their lives in an orphanage. That's a courageous act of faith. I think of mothers who are married to unbelieving husbands, but sometimes they defy those husbands in order to expose their children to the truth of God's word. I think of mothers who stand up to a teenage son or daughter and say no when everyone else is saying yes. I think of mothers who choose to give up a lucrative career so that they can stay at home with their children when others would say, that's crazy. What gives these mothers the courage to act in such a way? I believe that is that they love God more than they fear others, what others may think. They want to please God more than they want to please their friends or their children or even their husbands. And they trust God. They trust that as they are being obedient to what He's calling them to do in the face of threatening circumstances, He'll take care of them and their families. God was able to work in this situation as a result of Jochebed's faith in Him. As children were being murdered all around her each day, I can imagine Jochebed saying, God, I don't understand why you're allowing this to happen or what you have planned for me, but I trust you. Here is my son. I entrust him to you. Jochebed had a sensible faith. After those 3 months of hiding her baby, she realized that it couldn't do that anymore. It was getting harder and harder to hide the baby from Pharaoh. And so she made a little papyrus basket and sealed it with tar and pitch, make it watertight. And she placed Moses in the basket, and then secretly she hid the basket among the reeds on the bank of the River Nile. It's interesting to me to note that the word used for basket is the same word used for ark. Noah's ark was sealed with tar and pitch, just as Moses' basket was. Both Noah and Moses were placed in a vessel which was not a totally safe place to be if you consider that the occupants were at the mercy of the elements. The Nile River was known for crocodiles. At 3 months old, Moses was completely helpless in a river filled with crocodiles. But I want you to notice that Jochebed was not careless about her plan. It's very sensible. She didn't just send him floating down the Nile. She placed him amongst the reeds along the bank. This is a place where women would come and congregate. It'd be kind of like surrendering a baby to on the steps of a hospital or at a fire station today. She knew it wouldn't be long before the baby was discovered. And further, she had Moses' older sister, Miriam, stand at a distance to watch and find out what would happen to Moses. If Jochebed herself had tried to stand among the reeds and watch, it probably would have been too obvious who she was. But Moses' sister was a good spy. And when the basket was discovered by the handmaidens of Pharaoh's daughter, Miriam was there, and she offered to find a Hebrew mother to nurse the baby. And the plan fell into place. You see, Jochebed was clever, courageous, and sensible in her planning. Her faith was rewarded as her son was taken up from the water of the Nile and delivered into the safety, love, and care of his own mother in Pharaoh's household. Did you notice that the Almighty was not specifically mentioned in this story? Even so, it's obvious that he was at work. I can definitely see God's hand in all of this. The mother did what she could, but she couldn't do it all. Pharaoh's chosen instrument of death for this child, the Nile River, became the instrument through which Moses was saved. Jochebed even followed Pharaoh's orders by placing the boy in the Nile River. Then a member of Pharaoh's own family came to the river just at the right time to rescue the deliverer of Israel, Moses. At that point, Moses was then reunited with his mother, and she was able to raise her child during the most formative years, teaching him about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. After he was weaned, Jochebed released him to Pharaoh's daughter. Moses spent his youth in Pharaoh's court, where he learned law, rhetoric, mathematics, hieroglyphics, and sciences of the day, many others. And then years later, Moses led 2 million people through the desert, putting all these disciplines to work. This story is a great reminder that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, even if we don't realize it at the time. Moses was God's chosen one and would be instrumental in leading the nation of Israel out of bondage and toward the promised land. It was Moses who God entrusted with the Ten Commandments. It was Moses who was the only man to ever speak face to face with God. So when it comes to raising children today, there are things that parents can do, but ultimately they have to leave it in God's hands. And that's a hard thing to do. Letting go requires a strong faith. While a mother's love never changes, parenthood is a constant process of letting go. Letting our child make mistakes. Letting our teenager learn some of the things the hard way. Letting our adult child follow God's call, even if it might mean them leaving and moving far away from home and family. God is in control, and His purposes will be accomplished. We just have to be courageous and have faith. As I studied my scripture for today, I couldn't help but notice the prominent role that women played in having motherly instincts. Jochebed saw Moses as both beautiful and special. She loved him very much. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket and saw the baby crying and took pity on him. Moses' sister Miriam stood in the wings and waited to see what would happen and then acted when the time was right. All of this foreshadows what God was soon to do for his people. Later in the scripture, God looks down on his people and sees their suffering. God saw the sons of Israel suffering, and he took note of that. This same motherly instinct which caused Yahweh to save his people allows him to see us as worthy of being delivered from our utterly helpless state through the death, burial, and resurrection of his own son, Jesus Christ. So, what is the role of a mother? One anonymous mother of two put it this way: I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. I'm going to say that again because I know you liked it. I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. In other words, moms, your ultimate purpose is to foster a courageous, sensible faith that will instill in your children a knowledge of, a faith in, and a love for this God who sees and knows your child's deepest need for salvation and has decisively moved to accomplish it through the work of his own son, Jesus Christ. Mothers, you have the most significant job in the world, but you're not doing it alone. God is partnering with you each and every day, so have faith and be courageous. God loves the Jochebeds of this world, the risk takers that allow God to have his will be done. And so moms, be like Jochebed. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
I invite you to prepare your heart to offer your presence to the Lord. And this is why I give. I give because, one, Scripture commands it, and secondly, though, because I love this church so much. It has nurtured and cared for me for a good while now. Loving God, you have given us the task to love one another. May the gifts we offer bring love and life to others. May the love we share bring hope to the world that has forgotten how to love. Amen.
If you're not a member and we would like to be, I would ask and invite you to contact Pastor Cheryl. That's her email on the screen there. And otherwise, I would ask you to stand and join in the mission statement, which I'll hopefully be on the screen. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Go now in peace, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.